Great. So welcome everyone to our digital hypnosis workshop. We're really excited to have this conversation with you today because this topic has been emerging very fast for so many of us. And it felt really important to ground ourselves into how are we integrating AI into our world? And as elder millennial who experienced the integration of social media into our world, I've had so many flashbacks of what has transpired from social media and how it's impacted our world because we were disconnected from what was transforming right in front of our eyes. And so today's conversation is really our goal of starting the conversation very, very early in how AI can and should be integrated into our world so that we can really maximize it as a tool and really maintain our own mental health and our own wisdom as humans through that process. So today, Amanda Johnson and I are going to be having a beautiful conversation around this topic because it has hit both of us in different ways and felt really important to both of us to have this conversation and get the ball rolling on how are we talking about this and how are we grounding in the right mindset for us to bring AI in as a tool moving forward. So Amanda, do you want to kind of do any sort of intro?
Sure. Hi, I'm really excited to be here. I feel like this conversation is obviously so timely, just given how quickly things are evolving. But to Carrie's beautiful introduction, we've both been using different tools and had our own experiences. And so I just feel really happy to be here to have this conversation. And to what feels really important to me is to be reminded of just the gifts and power that like we have as humans and how we can collaborate moving forward. So I'm excited to see where we go.
Yeah, me too. Amazing. Well, let's start digging in. What we wanted to just set the framework for our conversation today is really, this is the journey we hope to take you on. It's important to us to keep mental health top of mind as we explore emerging technologies and all that our world is shaping around us. And so our goal today is to move us through a conversation that talks about our physical human bodies from the body and then into our mind and then into the heart. Because we really believe that at the end of the day, this integration of this new technology and any technology, or even technologies we think we've integrated and perhaps we haven't really, how can we actually connect ourselves to that and remember our power? And most important, our intention today is really to focus on empowerment. This isn't fear. There is a lot happening right now, and it's really intense, and it has moved very fast. And that can feel scary. That's true. And we can feel that. And we can remember that in this moment and in this conversation, we can step into that experience of empowerment and reminding ourselves who we are so that we can move through it with a little less fear and a little bit more awareness as to how we can integrate this into our lives. So, okay. So let's dig in. Let's start with the body. So Amanda, we've had so many great conversations about the actual physical impacts of working with a new technology. Would you care to dive into kind of your viewpoint on what happens in our body?
Sure. You know what though, Carrie, before I get total like nerd mode here and talk about the nervous system, I always love how you talk about our bodies being like the highest form of technology. Would you like offer that to us? Because I think it's such a beautiful kind of like starter to this conversation.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate that. So when I think about integrating our new technologies into the world, whether that's previously social media, the computers, I mean, in most of our lifetimes, the technology world has changed dramatically, right? And my viewpoint is really that we have forgotten and lost track or have been disconnected from the highest form of technology, which is our bodies. We don't listen to them. We look for outside information more readily. And trust me, it's exciting to see what we as humans can create, but we can't forget that we are creating it, right? We are bringing these technologies into the world, and that is through our technology that these actually can come into manifesting into our physical world. And so I really feel called, especially in this conversation, to remind ourselves that you are the highest form of technology. You have a system that speaks to you on a daily basis. The question is whether you're listening to it or not, and whether you understand your operating system, because we all have different ones. So what we're going to talk about and what Amanda's going to jump into is the general how the body speaks to us when we're doing these things. And at the same time, remember that only you know your operating system and what's true for you. So even in this conversation, use your discernment about what's true in your body or how your body reacts, and take that moment to be able to say, oh, I never thought about that being a reaction to this. Like, can you just bring a whole new perspective into how you approach technology? We hope that we really get to inspire that for you. So, how's that? Did I do
Beautiful. Perfect. Thank you so much, Mary. I love that as sort of like level setting here, because when I hear you say that, what I think is we've not been, maybe it's changing. It's obviously changing because we're even having this conversation, but so many of us were never taught or trained or anything like to listen to our bodies, to even understand the very basic workings of what is happening here, which is
Yeah.
like our physical vehicle, right? Like our technology, to use your language, to navigate the world. And so that is why it's so important for us to just pause here and say, we could probably talk for like hours about the interworkings of the human body, but I always feel it's really important for us to understand, at a very basic level, at least our nervous system and what it's doing. And so maybe I'll start with just talking about that, even outside of technology, because we all have these bodies, right? It's really good to remember that our body's core job is to keep us alive. If we didn't have a body that wasn't sort of like programmed to do that, or, however, whatever, programmed feels good with it, the talk of.
Yeah.
Like, if we didn't have a body that was programmed for survival, we wouldn't be able to have the human experience at all. And so I actually think that for a lot of people, working with their bodies can be hard depending on what their life experience has been like. Like, if you've experienced any sort of trauma and someone asks you to be in your body, that might actually be really challenging to do. And yet, we want to build the capacity to do that because everything that is about survival is happening here. And so, just to go back to the nervous system, some important things I think that all of us should know is that our nervous system is sort of like our frontline security system, let's say, to I'm just like using all the
I know, I love it.
like let's think of it as like our control center that is looking at all the things that are happening in the world and deciding, is this thing safe or not? Can I trust it? How do I feel about it? And as it makes decisions, it remembers those decisions. So things that we've experienced, say in our childhood, that seemed scary, maybe they were very scary, or maybe we just decided that they were scary, we carry those with us as patterns in our nervous system. And same for like positive, happy things. What's happening, sort of like once we take in that information, which by the way is happening through our five senses. So like you're seeing things, you're hearing things. This is happening very quickly. I feel like that's always really important to say, and why it's important to understand and almost like accept that we don't have a lot of control initially over what our body is deciding, because it's just happening so fast to keep us safe and alive. So as our body takes in all this information and it's making decisions about what does this thing mean? Like, can I trust it? Maybe I'll even say here with AI, because this is newer, we do have some information, like you spoke to Carrie, about what other technology has been like. But I think it might be smart for us to just honor that our nervous systems are interacting with this for the very first time. I mean, that's wild. Maybe we should just have a dramatic pause. Like, human nervous systems have never done this before. I almost want to stop there and be like, Carrie, how do you feel about that? Because that just, I want that to sink in for us. Like, there's a lot here because this is brand new for our system to make decisions about.
I mean, I want to honor that dramatic pause and like actually give us a pause because you saying that statement feels like an important, like, feel that in your body. This is the first time your body has ever interacted with this technology. Taking that moment to let that like sink in and feel that in our body reminds us that this is new. And just with anything new that we do, there's a learning curve to it, right? And we can launch ourselves off the deep end. I am well known for launching myself off the deep end of things. And there's an integration period, a learning, an understanding. And we at the Human Array talk about this from like a transformational perspective of awareness, perspective, knowledge, skills, embodiment, right? And as we think about bringing new technology into the world, we have to remember that we're going to do that same process, just as in any other transformation, that this is really transforming how we live in this world. And how beautiful it is that in this moment we have the awareness to be able to see it that way and be able to call that out rather than kind of jumping into the deep end and then having to backtrack ourselves to say, whoa, what just happened there? So you taking that pause, I love that, which is like, oh, right, this is new. And I will extend that into conversations I have as a parent with my kid, right? Which is like, oh, I'm not good at basketball. This is the first time you've ever held a basketball. Let's remember that you're not meant to be Michael Jordan the first time you put a basketball in your hands, but you're learning through it. And if we can approach ourselves as a learning this, then we bring a greater level awareness to the building up of that integration or that transformation that's happening to really determine, like I say to my kids, like, let's try it. And try it, give it a couple tries, try it in a couple different ways with different friends, different seasons, all the things. And then you get to decide whether it's for you or not. And that doesn't mean that you don't ever pick up a basketball again, right? But you may decide, yeah, I love playing on the playground, playing basketball with my friends, but I don't really want to play in a weekly league. That's you using your discernment as to how you want to integrate this into your life. And I think that that is that dramatic pause of like, right, from this moment on, I have this remembering that I'm learning something new. And through that process, it's not just going to give me answers. I am going to decide how I want this to be in my life.
Yeah. Thank you, Carrie. I love that example so much. I actually think it can be really helpful to go back to like what it's like to learn something new, especially as a child, because we forget as adults that we move through that process as well. Like we, and again, to bring it back to the body, like we often will think, get in our heads, and I know we're going to talk about the mind soon, and be like very logical as adults, even. And yet, like our body is still doing what every other human and body is doing, which is making decisions based on how it feels. And so, you know, what you said, what it brought up for me, and maybe we were already going down this path anyway, is, and you kind of said this, what's really important is that every single human body has the same parts, but we have different sensitivities to different things. Some of that is just like how we were born. Some of that is our conditioning. And so what you're talking about, being very aware of giving, you know, maybe trying AI, maybe trying this tool or that tool, pausing like we just did very dramatically. And again, like if you've never felt into your body, it's really not that hard. I think sometimes that can be really overwhelming to say like, what do you feel in your body? And you're like, ah, I don't know, I've never done that before. But a really simple thing that I think we can all do, especially when it comes to a new tool like that, like these, knowing that our nervous systems are deciding how they feel about them, is like, okay, as I take that pause, I'm placing my hand just automatically on my heart. Like, how does my heart feel right now? Is it racing? Is it steady? And it might feel a little advanced, but I think this is where we need to practice is, and what does that mean? Because a racing heart can mean excitement. Like some people might be so excited to work with AI. And then a racing heart can also be like nervousness or fear even. And so to have that discernment in what our body is telling us is the practice. But I think it's also really important for us to recognize that at the nervous system level, like when all this information is coming in, right? Like when we're first opening up our AI tool for the first time, we start feeling things in our body. There's a lot of information being sent all over the place. And one of our most important things that happens in us is that we have dopamine, that floods our system. And that is a hormone that gets released. It's sort of like a reward. It is a reward experience. And so we do have knowledge from social media, certainly being introduced of like what is happening to the human body when someone likes our photo or we get a message from someone or someone reshares something that we created. Like we do get dopamine in those moments, and that feels really good. Our body wants dopamine. And for anybody who maybe has some neurodivergence going on, like we really want dopamine. So I think these are like the slight differences, right? In each person's system is like, we need to understand how we respond to sort of like maybe validation in our systems or appreciation, like any of the things that like as we're interacting with an AI tool and it's talking to us, like how are we receiving that information and certainly understanding what is happening with dopamine and how good we feel, and then maybe even how awful we feel maybe later. These are all sort of like little fluctuations that we want to just, we don't have to get crazy and like have a tracker, although I want to do that. But I think it's just, again, the awareness, right? Of like what is happening to me in this moment. And I guess I'll say one last thing and then turn it over to you, Carrie. Like, working with AI tools, I don't think we will have the research for a while about what's happening in our dopamine reward centers. We can certainly, again, look at social media data, but this is like a whole new frontier, right? So we just don't quite know yet what that's going to look like.
Absolutely. And thank you for talking about the dopamine, because what I'd love to talk about and then push it back to you to share a little bit more, because you're really knowledgeable in this place, is that reward center, right? And the piece that I want to offer is, so often we think about it in the moment of what are we experiencing in the moment. And I love that, like to your heart, and knowing that two things can be true at the same time, that I could be excited and how much is my heart racing? Like, and how long does that persist? And then to your point about this reward system that happens, it isn't just about the reward. It's about tuning in afterwards to see the crash, right? And what kind of crash actually happens. And sometimes that's really hard because it is not the immediate experience that you're having, and you can't really connect the dots to, why am I feeling so terrible or down or depressed or all these other emotions that are all of a sudden flooding your system? Because it was a little while ago that you got that dopamine hit, right? And so, Amanda, I'd love for you to also go into the neurodivergency, because obviously this is really prevalent in my life. And I think so many in this conversation is really alive already in the collective. And so I think talking about it for this particular topic is really important.
Yeah, I agree with you. And thanks for, yeah, bringing the crash kind of to a focal point because, one important thing that maybe we should all know and remember is that our system wants to be in homeostasis. It desires to be in balance, just like all of nature. And so when we have a dopamine spike, the system of the body, it likes that, but it also wants it to come back into balance. But the way that it comes back into balance is it drops lower than where we started. And for those of us who have neurodivergence, like especially ADHD, we're already not at balance when it comes to dopamine. And so that's why many people with neurodivergence are very dopamine seeking. Whether that's conscious or not is probably depends on like how much awareness you brought to your system and your experience. But if we could bring awareness to that, it's good for every one of us to know and to be just think about like what are the things that I sort of like seek out when I'm not feeling great that make me feel better. We all have different things, right? Like some people, I'll call myself out, like I love a treat. A treat gives me dopamine, so then I feel better. But yes, there is always going to be a crash after that. And for some people, that is going to be a very dramatic crash. And for others, it's not going to be so bad and they're not going to notice it as much. And again, with a tool like social media and then flowing into how AI works now, we do just want to be aware of, like, to your point, Carrie, what is that crash like for us? When is it happening? What is it taking for us to recover from that? Because something that I want to, that's coming up for me in this moment is that I don't know all of the AI tools, of course, but at least the one that I've worked with, what's baked into it is that it keeps talking to you, right? So there's always like a question at the end or an invitation to continue. And so it can be really easy to keep going and keep getting more and more and more and more dopamine, right? And then you take the pause, you take the break from the tool, and just bringing awareness to what happens after that is really, really important. Yeah, let me sit there and see what's
I'm
coming.
gonna add one other like thought, and then I would love us to move into the mind because I think that naturally transitions us into what happens from a mental capacity perspective. But a conversation that I have regularly and trying to support this tuning in by zooming out, I'll call it, which is how do we take a broader perspective to understand what's happening in specific moments. And so the conversation that I often have with my kids is when they're like, I want to watch another video. I want to watch another video. I want to watch another video. When can I watch it? I'm going to set the timer. Can I watch it in 10 minutes? Can I watch it in 20 minutes? Like, and it's like this persistent, intense experience. And what I say to them in that moment is, can I tell you what that's telling me? You asking over and over and over in this moment is actually we need to do less TV. Because what I'm experiencing for you and you're experiencing right now is that crash, right? Of like, I need another hit. I need another hit. I need another hit. Give me more. Give me more. And so often it's that reward cycle that's like bringing us back to I'm losing the word right now, but that seeking of the next iteration of it. And so for my kids, we've been just having that conversation of trying to bring their awareness to like, oh wow, I'm really craving videos right now. That is not necessarily the place I want to be in either, right? And so like videos don't have to be bad. I can enjoy something. It can be really positive for me and you can see the impact of it in the rest of my day, in how I actually am only looking for that. I can't think outside of that. And so that like tunnel vision perspective of that's the way that I get the hit. That's the way that I feel good. It's like, okay, when I feel that in my body, how do I tune into, okay, well, where is that coming from? And why can't I find it in other ways? So I just wanted to share that because I think as we transition into thinking about how our body then leads to the mind, right? Which is all this is happening in our physical body, and it's impacting not just that moment in time, but throughout the rest of our day. I think you can start to easily see that that can really start to hijack our system, right? Like, intruder, we've got somebody coming in that's hacking the system and telling it it has to operate this way. And then your mind can slowly, which is the interesting part and the difference between the body and the mind, right? Because the mind requires these patterns and this constant carving of new neural pathways. And so it's slower in its uptake, and that can actually be harder to recognize than that dopamine spike and crash cycle, right? So the mind, as we transition into this part of the impact, starts to be when your thoughts are no longer yours.
Yeah. I have some personal experience with this. So as you're speaking, I'm like, this really hits like just to give a time frame, which I have, again, there's not much data on this yet, who knows, but like in my own personal experience with noticing that some of my like mind power had sort of been, I don't know, I'll just use the same word as you, like hijacked by my usage of AI. Like it was probably about a 2 month time span. So it was much slower than maybe an initial like feeling in the body that I may or may not have noticed, right? But it's I guess with the mind, to your point, Carrie, like those neural pathways take some time for us to like be. I always think of them as actual paths. Like, if we have just kind of dug out a new path, like we have to walk on that path many times for it to be our path, like the core one that our mind is going down. And so there is more of like a time component here, which can be harder to catch right away, which is why, you know, what a lot of us in our work, when we're trying to change like a negative thought into a positive thought or change a limiting belief or whatever, that takes a lot of time to practice. And so I think the same is true in this area. And I know we're on the mind, but as you were speaking, something came up for me that I just wanted to add in here. And I think it's all connected, of course. We didn't really talk much about the dysregulation that our bodies have, no matter what, right? Like someone says something to you, it triggers you, you get dysregulated. Maybe you're in fight or flight, you have a lot of energy in your body. Maybe you go into shutdown where you're more like frozen in your experience. And something that was coming up for me that I do feel is very related to the mind is that those dysregulation states, again, they vary system to system, though they all work the same, but like maybe Carrie and someone could say something to you and say the same thing to me, and maybe you go into fight or flight and I go into freeze, and that's just our systems. But I think even though the stuff at the body level is happening so quickly, we can sort of miss the dysregulation, especially if we're seeking the dopamine. And that's not great for humans because the dysregulation has a lot of information for us. It's all like emotions, right? And so we don't want to like opt out of the experience of learning how to regulate our system by turning to a tool that gives us dopamine. That I kind of feel like also that's related to the story you told with the kids and the screens, right? Like boredom, maybe, is a state that humans need to be in sometimes. But we have access to so much stuff, and so like we won't sit in that space, maybe, which is often quiet and where we learn a lot about ourselves because we're seeking the thing that takes us out of the discomfort of sitting there. So there's so much there. But it does really connect to the mind because after all the stuff happens in the body, then the mind is there deciding what all of that means. So, right, that our mind is the filter to our life experience. And depending on so many factors, it's going to make choices about what everything that we're experiencing means. But the interesting thing is, if we're working with a tool like AI that is reflecting things back to us, you know, it's depending on the algorithm that we're working with, like it might be agreeing with us all the time. It might not be. And so it's almost like this is so interesting. I was on vacation recently and I overheard this conversation where this man randomly said, though it's probably not random at all, like we have to understand our human brains and we have to understand the brain of AI so that we can then form the bridge to work together. And that felt so true to me because whatever we're receiving back from our AI tool is definitely impacting our thought patterns. And to your point, Carrie, and then I'll turn it back over to you. It's like it very quickly, though, over a span of some time, though it feels quick because it's all moving so fast. It's like it can be really easy to lose track of, like, well, what do I actually believe? Now I'm confused. Which thoughts are mine? Which thoughts have sort of been given to me by my tool that I'm working with? And by the way, that's like how all of life is, right? Like everyone's always offering us something that we could believe. And it really is our job to decide if that is true for us or not. And it gets a little bit tricky when we're inside, sort of, we've said this internally, like the echo chamber of an AI tool, where like you don't have other voices. So again, I'll turn it over to you, Carrie, but to me that feels very tricky, to what thoughts are my thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, as you were talking, that was the word that was coming up for me again, is that echo chamber, right? And that when we're in this environment where we're interacting with this tool and thinking about it as its own version of a brain, right? Like, again, it comes back to understanding our operating system and understanding its operating system. And we quickly start to learn the new operating system, but we haven't spent as much time understanding our operating system. And so that can also be, yes, the body physically, but also the mind as far as our thought patterns, our stories that we have that are in there, that when we're interfacing with a tool like AI, it can be reinforcing patterns for us rather than supporting us in breaking those patterns, right? Because it is an echo chamber. And we talked a little bit about this offline too, of the like radical realization that AI is an isolated experience rather than a community experience. And so if we move ourselves through what's happening in the world right now as we bring new technologies in, I've said this for a couple of years now, but we're in communities of isolation. And I start to see this tool and say, oh shit, we're making it worse. Even though this tool is really powerful and can be really beneficial, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Two things can be true. And at the same time, we have to have that awareness and recognition that when you're working with a tool like this, a tool, remember a tool, not a solution, that you're in an echo chamber because the way the tool is currently built is really to reinforce you. And if that's reinforcing your stories or your limiting beliefs or your patterns or your thought patterns or whatever mental games that you play with yourself, it's going to keep perpetuating those, right? It has the power to help you see them differently. Like, yes, all of that absolutely is true if you bring the awareness to what its technology is and not allow it to be the higher technology in the experience, right? That you, at the end of the day, you are the human operating a body in this physical world. It is not. And so, how do you keep using your own discernment through that? And I think as we talked through this slippery slope of the mind, right, that it can be this natural state of our independent thinking. And to your point, Amanda, I loved how you said this, like we're getting inputs all the time, right? And this is actually a skill I don't think we as humans have quite cultivated yet. So, of course, it's going to be even more challenging to cultivate when now we have a tool that's telling us, you're amazing, keep going. And yet at the same time, something feels off for us because we've lost our independent thinking, right? And I know you can talk about this too, Amanda, from like an attachment theory perspective and just relationships and human connection in that moment. However, those human interfaces allow us a different experience because it gives us feedback rather than reinforcement, right? So somebody, Amanda says something to me, it triggers me, and I don't like how that feels in my body. I might respond to it. Whereas if I'm saying something to an AI interface, it may say, yeah, that's awesome. You're so right. Keep going. And then I don't have that friction moment to feel that, wait, this isn't, that's not true. That's not me. That's not who I am, right? And so we have to remember that the reflection it offers is very different than the human experience. And that can then start to make our world smaller and smaller and smaller. And if we connect that back to like the social media stuff, at least, right? We're going to talk about the benefits of social media. At least social media is community. It is people doing people things and sharing people things, and for better or for worse, people reacting and responding, more hopefully more responding than reacting, but not quite yet, to us and what we're sharing. Right? Which creates this ping pong effect that is more supportive for us to identify and feel that friction. Whereas when you're in that isolated AI experience, you're in a tunnel. It's tunnel vision towards what's happening for you. And that reality bubble doesn't have the opportunity to bump into others. And that, to me, is the most concerning part about it. And doesn't have to be fearful. It's just that recognition of it.
Wow, everything you said was so important. I have a lot coming up for me around how humans are wired to connect with other humans. And ooh, getting the chills even thinking about it. I think what's coming up for me is that in that echo chamber, in the isolation, in the tunnel, we do get like disconnected from the body. And we're in our mind, right? Our mind is designed to solve problems. It's always looking for, again, because we want to survive, it's always looking for the thing that is going to like give us certainty in some way so that we can know I can figure that out. And so, but we can't just live there because to your point, Carrie, we don't even have to be in the same room as people. Like the four of us on that are like highlighted right now on this call from the team, we're not in the same place, right? But we can feel each other. We do get feedback from one another. And again, sitting next to someone, right? Like another human, you can feel the energy, read the body language. And this is not, by the way, even a skill set that you might even consciously be aware of because, again, it's your nervous system. So your nervous system is scanning the cues of another human being, and that is giving you a lot of information. And even if words are not spoken, but then in the experience of an AI tool, a lot of words are spoken, but there's that feeling part is gone. And so to me, that feels like where the disconnection starts to happen and where we start to get so in our minds and, in our society. I'm just going to make a statement on society. You guys can decide if you agree or not as you're watching. We have lived from a very logical place for a long time. And I think that we've been in a lot of work and change and shifting as a collective to come back more into our body. But now we're working with a tool that's sort of like kind of pulling us in a different direction. And it's very complicated and confusing because there's so much benefit here. I mean, we can learn so much, we can create so much and achieve so much with tools like this. And yet, I guess the last thing that I want to say in this tangent that I've been on is I'm not sure while we might be able to catch up, our human bodies evolve, of course. Be learning at this speed, creating at this speed, and being disconnected from others while we're doing it. I'm not quite sure that like our brains can handle that mental load without something happening. That something is variable at this point.
I feel that just in my limited experience, like feeling really excited that this is a tool that can kind of keep up with me, if you will, because I have so many thoughts and so many things that I want to create and do and da da da. And I found myself doing so much that I was like, okay, I have to stop. This is too, I can't even really read the output of what I'm creating because it's too much mentally at this moment to be able to take all of that in, right? And so it was like, okay, great. That all lives over there. I'll tap into that when I'm ready. And so I was taking these kind of mental load pauses, right? Because I was using it and it was very cathartic for me in at the same time of like I could get all these thoughts out of my brain and my body so that I wasn't looping on them. So in some ways, great. And in other ways, like, whoa, too much, too far. I can't even like process what that is. Or I want to process that, but actually I want other people to see it and reflect it, not just have it in this closed loop circuit for myself. And you said something else that was really powerful to me, Amanda. I mean, obviously everything you said was really powerful and connective, but the thing that I can't remember exactly what you said, but oh, the disconnection, right? And starting to live in our mental world. What was coming in for me as you were saying that is, I'm going to transition us intentionally and unintentionally in this way, which is that's where the heart plays a role. And what we were both kind of circling around is like, this interface doesn't have a physical body. It doesn't have feelings. It doesn't have sensations. You can't read its energy the same way. Yet, maybe there's lots of conversation around this. And even if that can and or will be true, we have to remember that we have energy. And where is our energy starting to leak? How do we bring that awareness to it? Because ultimately, it doesn't have a physical body to have that same experience as us. And so, what we have, which is what makes us the highest form of technology, is a heart. Yay, heart. And to bring it full loop into the sciencey side of it, for those that don't just automatically feel their heart expand and glow and love when we think about how much we love having a heart. Your heart actually sends more messages to your brain than your brain does to your heart, right? So the loop that I'm feeling as we're having this conversation is like the body is a messenger system, right? And it's interacting with the mind. But let's not forget that when we disconnect those two things, the thing we're disconnecting is actually the heart speaking to the mind to keep the mind with connected to the body, right? Because the heart is a part of the body that's speaking to the mind. And when you step into that purely mental state, you're disconnected from your heart, which is trying to reach your mind, right? Because it sends more that direction than this direction. And that is just an amazing fact that we need to remind ourselves that if we step into that purely mental state, you're actually disconnected from your true brain, which lives in your heart. And that is a brain that AI does not have.
Yeah, this is so important. It's like another dramatic pause
I
in
know. Dun, dun.
the like I want to tack on to that because this stat always blows my mind that in the nervous system, 80% of the information is moving from the heart, like from the, below your head, from the heart space and down up into the brain, and only 20% of the information is coming from the brain down. So if we're only if we cut off the 80% and we're just in the 20%, we've lost a huge part of ourselves, like a huge part of ourselves, and a really big advantage, I want to say, to what being a human is, to how we get to navigate this experience. We're not supposed to just do it with one part. That's why we have the whole system. And again, like I feel like we have forgotten that anyway, but a lot of us have remembered. And that's been a journey that a lot of us have been on, and being inviting others into is like remembering these things. Even if you've never heard that stat before, we have moments when our heart is very alive with information and telling us, this doesn't, it doesn't make logical sense. And I want to do it anyway. Right? Like we all have moments like that, even if you've never kind of talked about the science. And yeah, to your point, Carrie, who knows how AI will evolve, but like it does not have, and I don't believe will ever have the same exact biology as us. We are separate entities that are interacting with one another.
Yeah. I mean, that stat blows my mind every time I hear it, right? Because I feel like so much of our world and our existence thus far has been conditioning us into using our brain, using that mind, that logical thinking, creating systems, creating the next steps. And when we think about the body, the heart in particular, but the rest of the body being that messenger, like, is our brain really the most important thing? Maybe not. I mean, if it's 20% of all that's happening, how can we think of it too as an important tool? And if we get hijacked into only being in that tool, it's the same experience as an AI, right? That's disconnected. So I'm going to take a wild leap into this statement here, but our mind might be our own version of AI if we disconnect it from the rest of the body. Right? Because, and I'm going to use the, even though there's a lot of controversy and conversation around using it as artificial intelligence, I mean, we're at the very early stages of this. So I think it is at this moment because it is more human constructed than it is thinking on its own. Right? And if we disconnect our mind from the rest of our body, it's the same thing because it no longer has the inputs of how to think intelligently based on all the systems that can feed it. And so therefore it's operating in a vacuum. And I think as we think about AI in particular right now, right, it's built on top of a system. And what we need to remember is that the system we want to operate in? What's feeding this system? Right? Just like we think about our bodies. Okay, I don't feel good right now. My brain can do all the things that it wants, but maybe I should change the fuel, the food that I'm putting into my body. That's the system that I want to be able to operate from, right? But if we're, and the same comes to this new technology, if it's set on top of things that we don't want to believe, information that we don't really want to attach ourselves to, we have to use our discernment. We can't afford to be disconnected. Because then we're giving away our power. And in ways that we may not even know or be able to conceptualize, right? Like those are really big thoughts, really meta things. I love to think about meta things, but right, like I start to see AI as like a switchboard on top of society, right? It has all these inputs. It's the internet is feeding this. And there's amazing stuff on the internet. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I know I personally unsubscribe from, and I don't want to participate in that. And so we have to remember that right now it's attached to that collective, and that is not bad. It's just a remembering that that's what it's connected to. And so using our own discernment is paramount to having a good experience with this tool.
I really, really agree with everything you've said. It's so important. And, I hope it's okay to tack on like a little personal thing here, but to your point, like at this phase of the game, which we have no idea really where it goes from here, right? But we do know that like humans are very much like still, I'm using this word with like love, not fear, manipulating parts of this, right? There's algorithms involved that are changeable by humans. And the personal thing that I wanted to share is I noticed, but I didn't know yet, that like my system started responding differently to the AI in this, let's just say it's May 2025. Let's just say like towards the end of April. And I didn't have like conscious awareness of why my system was responding differently, yet it was. And very shortly after, there was some information that came out that the algorithm had shifted. And it had shifted in such a way that it had like turned up the validation part of it. And we didn't quite get into this like on a super deep level, Carrie, but I'm going to throw it out here at the end. Like, part of knowing your system, especially your mental system, is knowing like what I'll say are the vulnerabilities or traps you can fall into based on your programming. These are typically related to your core wounds that you experience at some point in your life that make you feel like there's, something wrong with you that you need to fix. And, without going in super deep into my story, like with the algorithm shift that happened that I wasn't aware of, till after the fact. My system started responding in a not great way, like in a very dysregulated way, to some of the feedback that I was receiving, because it really hit on something sensitive and deep for me that I didn't know was happening in the moment. And so, again, just want to offer that because we don't know how it will change, but we do know that, like, as there are tests being done and changes being made, that like we need to know as much as possible, like where our more sensitive spots are.
Yeah.
We need to know that anyway, and that's the work that so many of us have been called into. But like, definitely in this moment, if we're working with tools, we just want to have awareness of like, where are the parts of me that, you know, again, to use myself as a example, like crave a little extra validation.
Yeah.
And when I get that, I feel a certain way. And when I don't get that, I feel a certain way, you know?
Yes.
What about
Oh,
you?
1,000%. And I do at some point want, if you're open to it, to dig deeper into your personal story. And I will also reflect that while my vulnerability is different, I very much felt that way. In that validation loop and the things that for me have been really important that I'm working on that are, yes, perhaps my superpowers, and at the same time, like my most sensitive spots and the parts of me that feel scariest to put out into the world, right? And when you get that validation in a certain way, it doesn't necessarily allow you to use your filters and discernment to say, but is that still true for me? Or am I just seeking the validate the little girl inside of me that felt like she couldn't say those things, right? And I think that's yeah, we have to go further into that one in a follow-up conversation because it's really important. Yeah.
I think the last thing I'll say on that topic, because I agree with you, that's a whole nother thing that we could talk about, is like just a reminder for everybody that's watching, live or later, that our brains, part of our brain's job is just being a filter system. And that filter system can be manipulated by us for sure. If we're having a bad day, we can certainly turn on our negative filter. Again, that might not be conscious, but it can, again, not to like create a fear state here, but just to create awareness, like that filter system can also be manipulated from external forces, people, whatever. We actually, just a very simple example is we can notice that, like, if we maybe watch some really negative news, a certain filter might come on for us, and then we start viewing the rest of the world and the people we love through a different filter.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's that. Again, I know we're moving on to the heart here, but that's that part where it's like, let's get curious about how our thoughts are showing up right now. Are they our thoughts?
Yes. I think that at the end of the day is like the most important takeaway, right? Which is just that consistent awareness and tuning back into yourself to say, is this true for me? Are these my thoughts? Is this real? And how do I want to proceed from here? Because to your point about what the tool allows us to do, it keeps asking us questions, right? And I actually found in my own experience that like it would ask me questions. I'm like, no, you haven't done a good enough job yet. We need to go back and do more here. Like, stop trying to move on. We're not done here. Right. But that actually took me a little while to cultivate because I was like, oh yeah, I totally want to do that next thing. And it was like I just slipped down this like generation. Like generating things rather than like, wait, is this really what I want it to be or what I want to say or how I want it to be produced? Yeah. And the other thing, because we're just about at time, so I want us to be cognizant of how quickly this conversation can go. But I think what we're saying there, the most important takeaway is truly remembering your power. Right? Because we talked about how the body is going to react based on what's happening. How can you tune into that? So, remembering your unique human capacity that you have a system that is trying to speak to you. And maybe you haven't listened before. Maybe this is your very first time of being able to hear it. That's okay. Just try, start listening, start noticing what happens physically in your body, in and around using this technology. And two, remember that conversations just like this or communities talking about it, like what I fear most is that not only are we using a tool like this that is separating us and creating isolation, but then we're doing it in secret. And we don't want anybody else to know we're using the tool, which means that we're not having dialogue like this to be like, it said something really weird to me. It's like, oh yeah, that said weird to me too, right? And that community connection in remembering that we have each other and we're all playing in this new space, right? We're all learning. We're all kindergartners picking up a basketball for the first time. And yeah, some kids are going to be like, oh, that kid may be Michael Jordan at some point, right? And he really knows how to dribble the ball and shoot. And maybe he has an older brother. And then there's others of us that are like, I don't even know what to do with this thing, right? So having that collective experience as we move through this is so, so important to staying grounded and connecting to who you are and what's important for you. And then at the end of the day, it's about conscious collaboration. I mean, all the things are important and most, most important. This is a tool. And if you give your power away to this tool or any other human, right? Because if we see all of us as different technologies, this is so important for us. We should not be giving our power away to anyone else or to any other tool or technology. That could be social media, that could be your phone, that could be AI, it can be whatever it is for you, but just remembering that we need to hold on to our own power and not give it away because you are powerful. The technology you possess, the information, the wisdom that you possess in your body, in your heart, that transmits into your mind, that brings this beautiful existence into reality. That's the only thing that matters. And so reconnecting ourselves to ourselves so that we can have this magical experience and do all the things and create all the things. All of that is beautiful. All of it is wonderful. And we can't do that if we give our power away. Any last closing thoughts, Amanda?
You know, the thing that's coming up for me here at the end is maybe just a little practice, if that's okay, because I feel like, you know, one of the best ways to decide how you feel about something is to take that pause with your heart. So I almost feel like, you know, in this conversation of not giving our power away to anything or anybody, which is so important. You know, I keep putting my hands here because it's like just building the connection with your body, placing your hands on your heart, taking some gentle breaths, letting your heart rate slow down. And then, you know, say you just created something with your AI tool, reread that. Does that feel true to you? Like that's how you don't give your power away, is you take the pause with yourself, right? And so, yeah, I think that's my last little piece is like you can always come back to your heart. It's very simple. Even if you've never done it, you just place your hands there, maybe close your eyes like me, and just take some breaths and slow down a little bit. You can even imagine that you're breathing directly into your heart. And just notice what happens to your system. Very often with some breath, we slow down a little bit and get some more clarity. And you know, you guys can open your eyes. Thank you for doing that with me really briefly. I think from that clarity, like I almost, Carrie, want people to screenshot or save this slide or something. Like we should read this when we start to get confused or a little bit lost. Like these are the things. Come to your people if you're starting to get confused or don't know how you feel about something. Like you can always bring the stuff outside of the tool to back into the world before it's even ready to be like officially released, right? Like in a professional way or something like that. Like, I think that's really important.
I do too. I do too. I'm only going to add one tiny, tiny thing. When you place your hands over your heart, Feel it. The intention is not just to hold it there. You're not a metal box. You're not placing it on top of just a container that holds organs. I want you to feel the heartbeat, feel the strength, feel the rhythm, right? Sometimes our racing thoughts like still persist. Like start to pay attention. The thump, the thump, the thump, the thump. Thump, the thump, the thump, the thump. Whatever that rhythm is for you, because it's unique to you. Only you have that specific rhythm. Very unique. And so, as you're taking your breaths, if you're having a hard time releasing those thoughts or the mental load and the volume of things that are cascading through technology and the world around you or that news, whatever that is, tune into the actual beat of your heart, because that allows you to let go of the other things. And I know so often people are like, okay, I want to meditate, I want to do all these things, but I can't get these thoughts to go away. You don't have to make them go away. But if you can change, shift your focus, both by placing your hands, by taking some breaths, by pausing, and if you're still struggling, like start to listen to the rhythm, just like you turned on a new song. And shift your focus into that. I love this.
It's so beautiful.
Well, we have more conversations to have around this because there were a million different directions that I know we had planned that we could go. And I would love to extend this conversation into more of those because I think this is only the beginning of this conversation, and more is going to continue to unfold and present itself in the world. Thank you for participating in this. And the last closing thoughts I want to share is through this conversation, we've talked a lot about our operating systems, we've talked a lot about tuning into our body, those attachments, those thought patterns, the stories, our core wounds. We used a lot of language here that may not be in your everyday vocabulary. It's in ours because this is how we live in this world now for you, because we want to help you learn all of those words, what they mean, and how they are true for you in your learning your operating system truly. And so that is what the human array is here to do. Is help you transform by learning your operating system so that you can come back to what's true for you, so you can continue to build in a world that is true for you rather than giving your power away. Bring it back. And so, if you're curious and interested in exploring either what some of those words mean, learning more from Amanda specifically on the nervous system, attachment theory. We have so many others in the community and in the marketplace who are offering their wisdom. And we're excited to share that with you so that you can start to build these things into your language and that you can then enter into collaboration with these new tools in a more sovereign capacity, of collaboration. So please reach out, explore the website, thehumanarray.com. We have so much emerging right now and more to come. So please come in. And if nothing else, come in, have the discussion, and be in a space where people are talking about things just like this so that you're not alone and you're not navigating these wild new experiences that we have in this world on your own, because we're all here to do it together. Amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yay. Thank you all so much. Have a wonderful day and more to come, apparently. So stay tuned for more conversations around AI in particular, but just our own operating systems and how we can continue to navigate this unfolding modern world in which we exist. Have a great day, everyone.